Hello and welcome to Reliance's podcast. We hope that the message encourages your heart today. If you'd like to join us in person, we meet weekly on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11 o'clock a.m. And if you want to find out more about Reliance, come check us out online.
So what do we do? Easter's over. Where do we go? Where do we run? Is it over and we just go, okay, back to normal? Do we just go back to normal? And what I want to challenge us with today is there's no such thing as normal anymore. Somebody say amen. There's no such thing as normal anymore. When Jesus says, it is finished, it was actually, it is finished, and now it's begun. It's finished, and at the same time, at the resurrection, he's going to tell us that it's actually begun. And so I want to run in this month with something I feel like the Lord wants us to get into leading up to Pentecost, which is all things Holy Spirit. And here's why. When we get out of Easter, we get that part. We've been running the gospel. We've talked about Jesus, his work, all the things that he's done, the gospel's life, the gospel's hope, the gospel's love, the gospel is power, all those things. And then right after the resurrection and right after his death and right after his resurrection, we'll have about a 50-day window that Jesus is going to reveal himself in, and then Pentecost is going to come. And Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit is poured out on us. Amen? And when the Holy Spirit is poured out, everything begins to change. And so we're going to do kind of this next month, we're going to run in these words. Everybody say, in him, we live, we move, we have our being. This comes from Acts 17, and we'll get into that here in just a minute. But in him, we live, we move, and we have our being. And so I want to talk about this over the next 3-4 weeks. What does it look like to walk in the Holy Spirit, to live in the Holy Spirit, to have life in the Holy Spirit as individuals and then also as the corporate body of Christ? What does that look like? And so we're going to start this series called In Him, and we're going to talk all things Holy Spirit. And so as I was saying, the most significant event after his death and resurrection would be this moment of Pentecost, the promise of the Holy Spirit poured out. And so I want to set it up this way. We're going to talk about the resurrection to Pentecost. We're going to go through all that. We're talking about the roles of the Holy Spirit, all those things. But real quickly, in Scripture, there's a word that we have to understand of why Holy Spirit came that we can't gloss over. And it was in that window of that 50 days of what Jesus did. And that word is he ascended. Everybody say he ascended. It's his ascension. I think that we forget that sometimes. We're like, he died, he rose from the grave, and then we kind of move on. Well, in the Apostles' Creed, they wanted you to know that he ascended into heaven and that he's seated somewhere. Where is he seated, church? He's seated at the right hand of the Father where he is ruling and reigning. Amen? So there's something that we need to gravitate towards before we get to Pentecost. We need to understand that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And at the right hand of the Father, he is ruling and reigning both in our hearts and one day forevermore. And so in Acts chapter 1, let me just set this up. In Acts chapter 1, we get this. So Luke, they believe Luke wrote the book of Acts. And Luke in Acts chapter 1 says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So he's talking about, in this gospel, I talked about what Jesus did, what he was teaching us. And here's what he says, until the day when he was what? Taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself, everybody say alive, to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So he has risen, and then for 40 days he's showing up and he's appearing to his disciples in a resurrected body. It's going to say in the book of Acts that he appeared to over 500. He appeared to over 500. This is why they gave their life to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they actually saw the resurrected king. So he says these words in verse 4, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Do you see where their heart is at? So he's talking about the Holy Spirit's going to come. They're still focused on their earthly present reality. He's talking about something massive. They're still focused on something right here, right? And so he says, so they say, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But this is what you are to know. You will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, I love this, this is crazy. As he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. Listen, underline this. He was ascending, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. That's weird. A cloud took him out of their sight, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, so they're fixed and they're gazing into heaven, two men stood beside them. Can you imagine looking up and then all of a sudden two men clothed in white are beside you? And they come beside them and they say, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in heaven? Why do you stand looking into heaven? It's a question on their hearts. This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. And so this word of why are you standing here looking up is a word of going, there's work to do. He just told you that you're going to be clothed with power from on high. He just told you that there is something now that you're being stirred that you're supposed to go out and do. And it's through this work of the Holy Spirit. I think that as Luke is conveying this in Acts chapter 1, I think he's going back to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28. I think he's having this moment where the disciples were called in Matthew 28, and he directed them a mountain in Galilee, and he says those famous words, all authority has been given to me, go make disciples, surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. They're on this mountain in Galilee, and then I believe this is where the ascension's happening. That he's being taken up. But here's something profound that Jesus says in Matthew 28, 17. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, and while he was speaking these things and being taken up, it says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. How do you worship and then some doubt in the same breath when you're seeing him lifted up into the clouds? And I'm just telling you, church, this is what happens to us. If there are these men that are watching Jesus, who they followed their whole life, do miracles, do profound things, and he has just preached this profound word, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and clothe you, and while he does that, he's also being lifted up into the clouds, and you're sitting there going, just not sure. Just don't know. It's awkward, but I'm just not sure. That's the problem with the human heart. That's where we get to. Like we just had Easter. Some of you got touched deeply in your heart. If you're in here, you've probably been touched by the Lord at some point in time. You know his love found you, and yet there are moments in your life you're just like, I'm just not sure. I kind of doubt that he, you know, I don't know if he's there. Because we have a tendency in our heart to run in that kind of arena. And so It's different. It's difficult for sure when we're in these moments of despair. I get all that. But when we've encountered him, the call on our heart is to be empowered by him. And when we're empowered by him, the call on our heart is to go. And so this is what he's trying to get and trying to get into our life. The temptation that we would all have would be to return to our old life. And this is what we saw the disciples do. They went back to fishing when Jesus was resurrected. He was finding them doing things in their old life. That's all they knew. So even though they saw the resurrected Savior, and even though he's visiting them in that 40 kind of day window, when he's finding them, they're back out on the fishing boats again. They're gone. They've gone back to their old life. Why? Because you'll go back to your old life if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. You will go back to the things that you've always done. You'll run backwards if the Spirit of God does not fill your life. Somebody say amen. They'd seen the resurrected Savior. That's awesome. They went back to what they knew. Jesus wants you to run into what he knows. This is why the Holy Spirit had to come upon us. I'm going to show you this. It's so important for us to get. There is no going back to normal. Do you remember 2020? Do you remember COVID? Everybody's like, I just want to get back to normal. And Jesus is like, there is no normal. Normal's done. Normal's done. And so here's why this ascension is so important. And I set it up earlier. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. You've been called to a hope. Listen, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Jesus has all authority and power and dominion. Now listen, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head. We have one head. We've talked about this. Jesus is our head. Gave him as head over all things to the, everybody say church. So we've got a head that's directing us. We worked through that a couple of weeks ago. He gave us as the head over the church, us, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So I want you to hear this, this theological capstone on the crucifixion and resurrection was that Jesus was raised in order to take his place at the right hand of the Father. Now this is important. And when Jesus takes his place at the right hand of the Father, now the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out. This is what he's going to proclaim throughout all of his teachings. He's going to say these words. You have no idea what's about to come upon you. You're watching me and you're seeing me do ministry. You're watching the things that I'm doing. You're going to do the same things. He says you're going to do the same things, even greater things. This is a picture that we get of why Jesus is seated by the right hand of the Father so that the Holy Spirit would come. This was it. He wanted to remind you that this wasn't the finish line. This was the starting line. I've shared this with you before. We're in a season of weddings, and so I do a lot of premarital counseling for all these couples getting ready to get married, and always talk to these couples and say, man, I love when young couples are like, oh, we get to that wedding day, and they put their rings on each other's fingers, and they go, we've made it. We finished. And I'm like, no, you have not. I'm telling you, it's the deal. They think they've made it. Married couples, some 20 years and older married in this house, raise your hands. Have they made it?
No.
The journey is long. It's the most responsive I've ever heard you people. No, because it's where the journey begins. And it's the same thing in this moment. It's where the journey begins. And so this Spirit-filled life is where our journey begins. It's where everything changes. And so Jesus is going to say, and he's going to remind them, Luke 24:44, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written, so he's resurrected, he's meeting with the guys on the road to Emmaus, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then it says he opened up their hearts and their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said these words, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer, will raise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now look what he says. You are my witnesses of these things. And then he's going to tell us. So he's laying out the gospel right here. So he's going to die. He's going to resurrect. You're going to be my witnesses. And look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. Are we seeing the theme here in Scripture? Over and over and over. If you don't receive this power, you'll run back to your old life. If you don't get this power from on high, you'll go back and do the things that you've always done. There is a change that happens in your life, and that change is when the Holy Spirit comes in. That little phrase, you will be my witnesses. You will go to the nation, but you will not go to the nations alone. You will go through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that ascension, that seating at the right hand of the Father would release the power of the Holy Spirit on the body of Christ. And I'm going to say it one more time, just in case nobody caught this. We can't live a resurrected life without the Holy Spirit. The reason that you're resurrected is because of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives where? In us. in us. And this is important. And we're to deep dive into this over the next few weeks. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The reason that you have freedom is because the Spirit of the Lord is in you. Don't get this wrong. The reason that you have the freedom that you have in your life isn't because you go, I felt Jesus. And because I felt Jesus, now I'm good. Your feelings didn't matter in that moment. The Spirit of God came into you and the freedom of God came into you. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so this is what you're going to see. Jesus, I mean, read the words of Jesus, and here's what you're going to see over and over and over. This is the power-filled life. This is what I'm going to come and do. I'm going to die. I'm going to resurrect. This is what I'm going to do. But it's to get the Holy Spirit in you. If you start reading, you'll see it all over Scripture. All over the Gospels, he's trying to set this thing up. John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his, her heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. Whom those who believed in him were to receive. Listen, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is why he was ready to be glorified. He was ready to ascend to heaven so that the Spirit of God would come upon us. Church, we need to know this. Upper room, we talked about this on Easter. Jesus is doing his thing. John 14:15-16. John 17, Jesus in the upper room, and he's laying out the upper room discourse to them. And in John 16:4, he says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to be, I'm going to him who sent me. I'm going to be with the Father. And none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. We talked about that. That in between, sorrow is going to fill your heart. They were living in sorrow. Even after his resurrection, they saw him. But they went back to their old life because they were still in this moment of, we don't even know what to do. There's still this moment of, we're not even sure what this looks like. And so sorrow had filled their heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your, everybody say advantage. If Jesus is telling you I'm going to give you an advantage, you should underline that. If Jesus is telling you that I'm going to give you an advantage, underline that. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, if I don't ascend, if I don't leave, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The Son of God knows so strongly what the Holy Spirit will do in your life that he's going, it's your advantage if I leave. That's profound. And then here we are, American church, weirded out by the Holy Spirit. Can we just be real and candid? Like, oh, Holy Spirit, weird. Right? Love the Father, love the Son. But I'm telling you, in the majority of evangelical churches, Holy Spirit, even then, to them, becomes a little bit of a weird topic. And I get it. We've abused it. We've ran in things that were not biblical with it as the church in America. Amen? But I'm telling you, we cannot neglect him. That is a work of the enemy to try to keep us from our advantage. It's a work of the enemy. And so, His words on the cross, it is finished. His words after the cross, the gift is coming. It's begun. We are people of the finished work of the cross. Amen. Death is defeated, but he is not done. We are people of the Spirit of God. We need to hear this. It's better that I go. He says the Holy Spirit will come. There is a longing in your heart. It's that longing that says, and you know this, things. It's better if this happens so that this will happen. And it doesn't feel better in the moment. You guys know what I'm talking about. There are things in your life you're like, it's better if this happens so that this will happen. But in the moment, it doesn't feel like it's better. But then after it's happened, you're like, that was better. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You're like, I'll give you an example. How many guys like snow and cold? All right, five of us, because winter was brutal, right? But here's the thing. Like, if you're a hunter, is hunters in the room? Come on. All right. Okay, we're going to get more. Okay, listen, if you're a hunter... It's better if winter comes because hunting season is upon us. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I mean? Okay. Here's what he's saying, though. It's better if I go because something better's coming. All right. So we're in this time. We're in this season. We're in this moment now. For the rest of history until Jesus comes, we're in this Pentecost moment where the Holy Spirit's been poured out. We need to get this. It's to our advantage. And so in John 14, going back, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's reminding them. He's doing something. He's building something. He's going to give this moment. He's going to go, hey, in this in-between, you'll see me, then you won't see me, then you'll see me again. We talked about that. And in that moment, he's going, I'm going to go to my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a room for you in my Father's house. And so as he says, I'm going to prepare a room for you, there is a longing. We're looking up because there is a longing to be with him, whatever that's going to look like. There's a longing for that. But it's not to keep looking up as the angels appeared to the disciples on that mountain as they're seeing him ascend. They're like, why are you still looking up when there's work to do? And sometimes we're looking up forgetting that the Spirit of God is in us and there's work to do. And so he says, I'm preparing a room for you in my Father's house. So there is a longing. But then he's going to say in John 14, 17, he is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. Right? He's coming. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be what? In you. I will not, he's going to go on. He's going to say, I will not leave you as orphans. Peace I give you. He's going to give all this language. He's going to take the word of life, resurrection and life, and he's going to fill us with the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to say one more word on this real quickly. The Holy Spirit then comes into us and then begins to enlighten us or open our eyes to the depths of God. If you've ever asked yourself, man, how do I know the depths of God's heart? Holy Spirit. If you've ever said, man, I just want to know what God's heart is, everybody say, Holy Spirit. If you're like, I want to know what the will of God is for my life, everybody say it, Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. The Holy Spirit reveals his word. It's the difference between when the apostle Paul, when he was reading scripture as a Pharisee, and he's not seeing Messiah in it, and then all of a sudden he gets knocked off, Holy Spirit fills him. He sees Jesus everywhere in the scriptures. That's the difference. His eyes have been opened. Our eyes are opened when the Holy Spirit comes in us. Let me show you this. In 1 Corinthians 2, 4, this is a long one, but just go with me. Paul says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Look, church, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as is written, no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are things God has revealed to us, everybody say, by his Spirit. By his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Oh man, this is good. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? That makes sense. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand. That's profound. Underline that. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining the spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Do you see a lot of Spirit in there? Do you think he's trying to tell us something? The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. But we have, he's going to say this later on, but we have what? The mind of Christ. I'll close out with this part. I don't want to because we have lots more, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it later. If somebody came and their spirit came inside of you, that's weird. I get it. But if that happened and they could put their spirit in you, you would see what that person sees. You would know what they know. You would know what they long for. You would know what they desire. You would know what they hope for. You would know what they love. Like if your spirit got put inside of me, right? John puts his spirit inside of me. All of a sudden I'm going, oh, I see differently, brother. And I begin to see the things that are the longing of his heart and the things that he desires and the things that he longs for and the things that he loves. All of a sudden, I begin to see differently because his Spirit has come inside of me. So when Jesus says that the Lord is going to pour out his Spirit and the Spirit of God is going to come inside of you, here's what he means. You're going to start seeing God's heart and his longing and his desires. You're going to start seeing the depths of his riches. Amen? and it's going to change things. Let me say this differently. It should change things. It should change things. And so this is what he's constantly trying to get the disciples to see, that our longings and our desires and the things that we're after, like, they should align with the heart of God, because the Spirit has searched the depths of God. Look, do you know that God has depths that will, for eternity? Like, the moment that you go, I think I understand the Lord. No, you don't. The one who is and was and always will be. You'll never. We'll just keep going. Oh, Lord, I think I've made it. No, you haven't. And we'll just keep going. There are depths. And it says the Spirit searches the depths of God. And then the Spirit comes into us to begin to tell us the depths of God. That's good news. Is that good news? Okay. I'm going to just close out with this. I know I said that on the last one, but I'm really going to close out with this one. I know. 11 o'clock's waiting. Feels like the AC is broken here again. Is it hot in here? Crank that bad boy, Ryan, back there. Awesome. Thank you. So here's the deal. Listen. So the reason that you have a longing in your heart, like, there's, anybody ever felt like you have a longing for more? Anybody? You're just like, oh, there's got to be more. There's like this longing for more. You're going after things and you just feel this, like, there's this longing. Like, I'm satisfied, but I've got a longing. Like, you could even go on vacation and be like, that vacation was awesome, and you come back, but what happens right away? There's a longing for more, right? You're like, that's because that DNA was put inside of you. That's not coincidence. That longing for more, that, I'm just not, what's that? Why am I never satisfied? That longing for more was put inside of you. I'm going to prove it to you. Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says that God put or set eternity in the hearts of people. There is an eternal thing that's longing for more, and that longing for more is that longing for the depths of God. So that I never stop. I'm constantly longing for more. Oh, God, I want to know deeper the riches of your love. God, I want to know deeper the riches of your joy. I want to know deeper the riches of your hope. I want to know deeper the riches of your love. You guys hear what I'm saying? That longing for more is a God-designed longing in you. He put that inside of you for a reason. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is constantly bringing up that reminder that there's a longing for more. There's a longing for more. And so he says in Acts 17:28, this is where we begin the process that we're going to run through. That's why in him, we live now. In him, we live. In him, we move. In him, we have our being. Anybody ever felt like life was off track? Anybody in here? Man, just life's off track. You ever felt like you've been in a place where you just had no certainty any longer what was happening in life? What in the world? This thing's derailed. Anybody? Right? And even today, some feel alone, confused, and overall just like this sense of like, God, what are you doing? And that's because God has placed something in us that longs. That's supposed to bring up a longing inside of us, a longing inside of our hearts through the Spirit of God, that we are created for more. We are. We're created for more. You're created for more than your job. You are. Go work, kill it, do well, make money, whatever. You're created for more. There's that God longing inside of you that will never get out of you as long as the Holy Spirit is in you. This is why Jesus is like, I cannot wait. It's to your advantage. I'm going to go, I'm going to pour my Spirit out. And when I pour my Spirit out, in me you will live and you will move and you will find your being and you will run. You will run. All right, amen. Can I say, no, I'm not gonna, I'm not, all right. I just wanna pray over you. We're just gonna close out this way. I just wanna pray over you. God, there are men and women in here today that have encountered the Holy Spirit, and I know there are men and women in here today that this is maybe foreign territory for them. And so Jesus, I'm asking, would you begin to stir something in us today? Flicker, stir something in us. I love how Paul says it to Timothy, that you would begin to fan into flame that gift of the Holy Spirit inside of us. I'm praying today, God, for the one who feels so lost. I pray, God, even just listening, that they would go and open their word today. Holy Spirit, would you illuminate Jesus' words? I came, I died, I resurrected so that Holy Spirit would be poured out upon you. I pray, God, that we would see that today is just the start of what you're beginning to do, Father, that you have poured out your Spirit. It's not the finish line, it is the beginning line. And I pray, God, for a bunch of men and women where our affections are going, I was created for more. That longing, that insatiable desire, that thing I'm running after, I was created for more. So Jesus, every heart, if that's you this morning, just extend your hand out. If you're like, Lord, I want this. Yeah, just put your hands out in front of you. There is something about asking and receiving. He says very clearly, and we'll talk about this. He says, how much more does the Father love to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God, we need your Holy Spirit. We're praying today, Jesus. I want to be the same. Easter did something. Broke us free from the pit of death and hell. But you still weren't finished. Because you were bringing the promise of the Holy Spirit, which you were so excited to give to us. And so I pray, God, today, pour out your Spirit. We're asking, come Holy Spirit, fill us up. Just even ignite the flame, the flicker, blow on it, whatever. Ignite it today. From those who've known you to those who've never experienced you, Holy Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
Thank you so much for tuning in for today's word. We hope that it continues to encourage you and bless you as you go about your day-to-day. Until then, we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week.